Hey everybody, welcome back to The Breakdown. I'm Luke, and today you're in for a very special treat because we are doing a, well, it's not a breakdown first because Pastor Daniel had come on way back after he preached, but we have Pastor Zach with us today.
Hey everybody. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to be here.
We are very excited to talk with you too. You know, Sunday was awesome. Every Sunday is really special. And I always come into church with an expectancy of like, what is the Lord doing? What's
Amen.
The Lord going to show us?
Absolutely.
Through the worship, what's he doing inside of my heart? And then always, what's Zach going to preach about? Because there's something about you, it's so unpredictable.
Oh, all right.
I'm always wondering, like, how do you get your messages? So if you don't mind, like, how do you get them? Is it throughout the week, like the Lord drops them into you?
Or? Yeah. So I'll say it's very rarely. I've been admiring and also a little bit like shocked at guys that have their sermon schedules out for like a year.
Oh, they know
where they're on. Every very once in a great blue while will I have like a few messages, or will I say go into a thing knowing I'm going to be preaching like the seven letter rampage on the seven churches in Revelation, or I think we did a 4 week thing on the King's Academy with David. But even the fact that I can point to those two over the, you know, the history of the church, maybe like another one or two ever. So I'm not really, ever more than 1 week out. I always just say, all right, Lord, what's on your heart for this week? Not that the way I do it is more spiritual or anything.
No, it's you.
For me, it's very much like, I get in the word and I say, all right, Lord, what do you want to speak to us this week? Yeah. And I'll sometimes just zero right in on it. And sometimes, you know, it'll take over the course of a couple days. And, you know, sometimes it feels like the heavens are brass and you're just like, I'm not getting it. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes a lot comes all at once. And sometimes I'll get something on Monday and get another bite every time I get back into it, meditate on it, pray through it. And it literally is just over the course of the whole week. So
that's awesome.
I've never been one of those guys that, like, I know some pastors too. I got some good friends who block off like Thursday or
for
half
prep
of Wednesday.
Yep.
And it's like, this is when I write my sermons. I lock the door. Nobody's allowed in. I don't go out, you know, no bathroom breaks till this thing's done. And I kind of meditate on it.
Yeah.
And just, you know.
No, I understand. I can relate to that with different things I've prepped for youth groups or, you know, other times. You get the message when you get the message.
Yeah. You've done quite a bit of preaching yourself.
At youth group and then at Calvary, I did a little bit. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
So,
and those are, you know, your home church growing up, and young people are two like pretty difficult, I think, audiences. So I think it's respectable, you know, in the same way that, you know, a prophet's not welcome in his hometown. I think sometimes the churches we grow up in have trouble seeing past, you know, that's just the carpenter's son. You know, it's like, no, like God's put a word in my heart, you know, a fire in my belly.
And, amen.
You know,
amen.
So I think it's great that you are cutting your teeth there. It's
absolutely
awesome.
Yeah. And that's something I'm very grateful for my time at Calvary growing up there. They were always very positive about getting the youth involved.
Yeah.
Getting us involved with music.
Absolutely.
And then Mike Montag, when he was there, was very influential in getting me involved in speaking on Sundays and sharing with the youth group.
Right.
And I absolutely love working with kids and youth. It's a very special demographic. You know, they can handle a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They can handle more than I think we give them credit for.
Absolutely.
But also boiling it down into very simple.
Sure.
Like the simple is often very complex when you sit on it.
Yeah. It's good. Good stuff, man. I'm excited and I'm also really grateful now that I have a son in youth group. I'm still kind of like processing that reality, but it's made me increasingly grateful for the folks who are there and who are pouring their lives into that group of students, and the fact that we have a group of teenagers who are so hungry and so just passionate to see a move of God. So, I mean, that says something about their leadership.
Amen.
So,
amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. So this brings us to Sunday.
Okay.
And I've loved this passage of scripture. So we're in Leviticus.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whenever anyone says we're going to preach out of Leviticus, you're like, okay, where is this going?
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to be talking about? Is it about, like, if I kill my neighbor's ox? Like,
yeah,
what's
right.
going on with that?
Because that's relative.
you know? So, but you have this passage of the blessing of obedience, and that's and the responsibility of that comes with this blessing. And when you read this passage, we're not going to read it again, but you see that it's like the Lord is setting these parameters. Mm-hmm. He's setting these boundaries. Mm. And as I was thinking on it, it's kind of like, you know, when we have kids, we tell them, okay, go outside and play, but we say, don't go play in the road. You can play on the swing set. You can. We set these parameters for them to have a good time, mm-hmm. and then they go out there and they create their own worlds within these structures, within these boundaries that we've placed them in.
Right.
And as long as they follow these guidelines, they're going to have a great time and they're going to enjoy it. Mm. But I think sometimes the sin in us chafes against these rules, and like we want to like push the boundary, and then. In the end, like that's what keeps us from having a good time and enjoying the blessing that the Lord has for us.
Sure. Yeah. I think that's a good point. And, you know, for me, that passage, it really is about growing up. It really is about, okay, the maturity. And, you know, to your point, okay, boundaries are extended to us when we can understand them and the why behind them. You know, usually if a kid doesn't understand the rules, then you don't really trust them to follow them.
Right.
They're still there and the child's expected to do it, but with a lot of oversight, a lot of like hand holding because they can't process, hey, why do I need to do this? But as a kid matures, we see this with our own kids. It's like they start to get it. Oh, here's why I shouldn't, you know, play near that cliff. Here's why I shouldn't touch the hot stove. Here's why, you know, so they add the why and now it's kind of like, okay, you're pretty smart. Like you're starting to get this. So we're going to like let them a little more line out. And I think that there is a reality to how much line the Lord lets out when we're living in blessing.
Right.
Like he entrusts us. It's pretty risky. Mm-hmm. If you think about it from God's perspective, it's pretty risky, especially when like humanity has the history. God's people have the history that we have of just really butchering it.
Right, yeah.
it's risky that he still invites us to live in that blessing and entrusts us to steward it well.
Amen.
You know?
Amen. And you know, and this is coming on the heels. So if you're listening, you don't know the chronological story. This comes on the heels of the Israelites wandering through the wilderness.
Sure.
And it was during that wilderness season that the Lord was preparing them. He was letting the rebellious generation die off.
Right.
And so this is often the same with us. I think it mirrors this. We go through, like we come to the Lord and then the Lord disciplines us. And we have this period of time where we're not necessarily, you know, doing a lot of our own effort to invest and build on what he's doing. We're receiving from him and he's removing stuff in our life.
Yeah.
And then as we come to a place of maturity, then he's like, okay, now you're ready for me to entrust you with land to work.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening with the children of Israel here. And that's what I was hearing on Sunday. It's, you know, we get to a place where, okay, the beginning's easy. The Lord saves us from our sin, but we get focused on that.
Right.
That was something that you had emphasized where it's like we get so focused on the doing and the removing of sin, and then—
Well, we overcomplicate it.
Yes.
How?
Yeah.
I would just say that, I mean, in my own life, the sin I've really struggled with issues that I've dealt with and vices that I've had, I have glorified them.
Yep.
And, you know, Pastor Kurt preached on this a number of weeks ago and did just a marvelous job of steering everyone away from empowering the enemy, like handing over the power by glorifying these sins, glorifying this stuff. And then, you know, I think I doubled down on it like 2 weeks ago.
Yes, you did.
And I think that, you know, what we have a propensity to do is we overcomplicate the sin piece, the getting right with God piece, and we oversimplify the living in the blessing.
Amen.
Because it's everybody's just thinking like, once I'm in the blessing, I'm home free.
Right.
And we're thinking heaven, right? Mm-hmm. We're thinking like we're on the other side. And, you know, I'm not here to discuss like what everybody's theology of heaven is per se, but I do think that we can look back at the garden.
Amen.
And I think that to understand what the heart of God really was, and I'm not saying that heaven's going to be exactly like the garden, but I do think that if we could see a sanctified, presence-filled glory version of our lives today, we could think Garden of Eden. Okay, we've been given dominion. We've been given each other, right? We've been given this relationship with God, and we've also been given responsibility. And I think that the responsibility piece, we look at responsibility like a bad thing. So when we look at something like heaven, oh, your kingdom come, your will be done, we're thinking of something coming when responsibility ceases. And so it immediately puts us in this category where we don't know how to steward real blessing, because we think that blessing is void, or it equals the absence of responsibility, and it just doesn't. In fact, if anything, it equals the, you know, amen, embracing and accepting of, okay, now what do I really do with this? Mm-hmm. You know, people say, you know, you've heard more money, more problems, right? And if you just were like real basic here, okay, real simple, like if you think of blessing in terms of finance, right? When you have a lot of money, it comes with a lot of responsibility. You can do incredible good, incredible kingdom stuff with a lot of finances. You can also cause incredible problems, wreak incredible havoc with finance. And the difference is whether or not you're stewarding it well, whether or not you're being responsible with it. And so, especially when it comes to the next generation,
right?
You know, so.
Yeah, and you know, in the parables of Jesus, he harps on this stewardship principle all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you have the parable of the talents, and how basically what we can get from that is like God gives us each according to our ability, and according to, you know, the ministry or the vision that he's the calling he's placed on our lives.
Yeah.
And then it's for us to work with that, to mm-hmm. go out and do things with it. And the way we do that, so we don't become like the servant that had the one talent who hides it, is like we understand the heart of the Father,
yeah,
and having that relationship with Him and going out. And so, in this passage in Leviticus, like now the children of Israel are in this place of maturity, and so the Lord is bringing them into the land,
right?
And so then you went down through each of the different. Some different concepts. So like the one thing that I wanted to ask you about was the threshing. So you put us in the role of threshing. So it's like us tossing up, you know, the harvest or the grain and the tares to the air, and then the wind that separates them, that's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, so that process of threshing, and I did include talking about the tares growing up with the wheat, and mm-hmm. how in the Gospels we see Jesus instructing us to let these things happen. This is like, it's interesting because when Jesus talks about wheat and tares, it's like saved people and unsaved people. Mm-hmm. But if we think of ourselves as of just wheat, right? So we're now in the church, we've all accepted Christ, right? We're just the wheat, but the threshing process in us is to separate chaff, mm-hmm. right? So there's parts of the wheat plant that need to go into the fire. Mm-hmm. There's parts of the wheat plant that do not need to go into the bread.
We cannot eat that.
Right. Yeah. We cannot eat that, right? That'll give us problems. So I think that for me, that threshing is we try to get too involved in the separating mm-hmm. of the soul and the spirit. We know the word is for this purpose, right? Mm-hmm. But we also feel like we take it upon ourselves to be judge, jury, and executioner when it comes to, hey, Luke, I see this thing in your life and blah, 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 you know, and now we're going after that thing that mm-hmm. we have deemed to be chaff. Mm-hmm. When it's such a beautiful picture, the threshing, this idea of, okay, there is a part that we have to do, but it's to literally hold this thing up to the Holy Spirit, let that wind move through and do the separating for us, because we'll mess it up. We'll miss stuff, and then we'll end up throwing stuff out that was actually good. You know, our grubby little fingers won't, you know, we're not meticulous enough, and we're not detail-oriented enough to really understand the surgical precision with which the Holy Spirit, you know, separates things from us.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
No, it does. And you offered an apology for people who had been hurt by spiritual leaders who did this the wrong way. And because there is a fine line of, okay, I'm walking with people, and as a pastor, you have a flock underneath you, and you have to shepherd us. There is a fine line, from what I'm hearing, of, you know, calling things out in a gentle way, in harmony with the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
and then also coming down as a taskmaster and being controlling and harmful and hurtful to people by doing things out of order or from your own flesh.
Right. Well, we have to think, how does the Holy Spirit operate?
Right.
And I would say that one of his favorite ways of functioning is using people.
Yeah.
So this is not to eliminate people as a potential part of the threshing process.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. But you know the difference, and I would venture to say many believers know the difference between when somebody's operating in the Spirit. You don't have to be some guru of discernment to be like, that just doesn't sound like the Lord. It doesn't sound like it came in love. Mm-hmm. It doesn't sound like it came through with a heart that really wants what's best. It sounded like a judging spirit, like a critical spirit. And that's not the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That's a different spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a spirit that gets really involved in that process because it builds up in our flesh that hierarchical gross thing that says, I'm the one that should be separating, you know, the wheat and the chaff.
Right. And I can identify, you know, times in my own life where I was given charge of people or I acted out in a way that on the surface could look like I was holding someone accountable, but I know inside my flesh, I was coming down on them and I was pushing myself up.
Yeah.
And that's, and to me, like, that's the application that I see for myself.
Yeah.
Where it's, okay, is the Holy Spirit prompting me out of love?
Yeah.
Am I being motivated by love to come alongside this person?
Yeah.
And walk with them? Mm. Or am I just operating for my own gain, or just I'm better than you?
Right. You know how you hear the saying of parents when they're spanking their child, you've heard it said, this hurts me more than it hurts you.
Yeah.
You know, like that, like,
oh,
I don't want to do
that.
This. Yeah, of course. And I think that this is a really interesting example of this, right? I heard it said, it may have been who is the guy that did the Focus on the Family stuff?
James Dobson.
Yeah. So I think it was James Dobson. I can't remember. It was 100 years ago. And he said something like, if you enjoy like physical discipline, then you probably should not be doing it. You should hate it. You know, it should grieve you. And I know because I've been a dad, that's like I'm fighting back tears, giving like one or two whacks on the rear because it just like I am grieving the hurt that my child feels via their disappointment, you know, my disappointment, you know what I'm saying? And so I started off with that. And here's the point, right? If you're ever sort of inspired by the Holy Spirit or how did you say prompted?
Yeah.
I think you used the word prompted by the Holy Spirit to confront a sin issue or, you know, something in somebody's life, that prompting should, I believe, this is my conviction, you know, we can, whatever, it should be rooted in a shared conviction as if that was your own problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're doing this right, Luke, if I'm doing this right, we should see your sin as my sin.
Right.
Like we are the body of Christ, right? Your struggle is my struggle. The issue in your marriage, like I'm grieving that, like as if it's my own marriage, because I believe that that's how the symbiotic sort of organic nature of the bride should be. And, you know, we're told this, right? Corinthians doesn't mince any words. You know, we're all growing up in this thing together and we share in each other's, you know, we share in each other's victories and celebrations, and then we carry each other's burdens. So part of that burden is the sin issue that needs to be dealt with. If I'm approaching it from a place of grievance, like my own heart is broken over this, like I'm feeling the conviction that I want you to be feeling, then it's going to come from a place of love.
Right.
It's not going to come from a place of like, well, I'm actually righteous.
I conquered this.
Yeah. And yeah. You're not.
Yeah.
I'm going to feel it like it's my sin.
Right.
Does that make sense?
No, it totally does. And as you were talking, I just pulled it up. Galatians 6:1, Paul says, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself.
Amen. Yeah.
You know, and other good versions will say like those of you who live by the Spirit. So it's exactly what we're talking about here. So the role for us is to go out and gather the harvest.
Amen.
And I love this. Over the last few years, like I've just had a greater desire for, you know, going out and sharing Jesus with people and reaching the lost and bringing them in. And there is a portion of health that comes with living as a believer that you cannot experience unless you are actively going out and serving. That's one of my personal beliefs.
That's good.
Spend so much time, again, like working through our own crap, like revisiting the same stuff over and over. Mm-hmm. And like, okay, I need a prophetic word for me. And God's saying like, I've given you all this stuff.
Yeah.
I've healed you.
Right.
Now just go out and do it.
It's good.
This is what I made you for.
Yeah.
To go out and proclaim me. You have the blood of the Lamb. You mm-hmm. have the word of your testimony. That's mm-hmm. all you need. I'll take care of the rest of the stuff as you go.
Good.
And, you know, even just like working with youth or working with in different ministries, you understand that you've been healed in so many ways when you see how the Holy Spirit does move through me.
Yeah.
And I am made to go out and reach the harvest.
Absolutely. I'll give you like, so my example of that is a little different, but it's to prove your point on across the spectrum here. So I don't, my ministry is primarily to saved people.
Oh, right? Yes, absolutely.
In fact, I would say my ministry is primarily to people in ministry, which mm-hmm. is just kind of an interesting way that my gifts and all this has developed. Mm-hmm. But one thing I'll say to speak to my truth to your story is in marriage counseling. So premarital counseling and marriage counseling, I have, as I sit down with couples, you know, in fact, I've got a meeting coming up here in a little bit. As I sit down with couples, it's so cool that even sometimes my wife will be in the room. Sometimes Ashley and I will do a meeting together, but most often it's me. And what I find is that it is perhaps one of the top five healthiest things for my marriage is to actually be ministering to other marriages.
Wow.
So it's what you're saying,
it's
in a little bit of a different context because of like what I do. But it's pouring out. And what it does is you're talking about what God's done in you. Mm-hmm. There's the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Here's what our lives look like because of what God's done.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Like, here's what our marriage looks like. We started off like here. I grew up like this. Mm-hmm. This is what God did when he brought us together. And now that ministry is actually, it's speaking life and speaking truth back to my own ears.
Right.
And my own like mind is contemplating, oh my gosh, like what a God story Amen. We have here, you know?
Yes.
So it's pretty cool.
It is. And I love that. And I totally see that for you. And that's what we read that when Paul's talking about, you know, the fivefold ministry, those particular offices are to build up the church.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you have, there's an understanding of how we are to be gathering the harvest.
Yeah.
And I would just say like fundamentally on a base level, sharing Jesus, like wherever you go.
Yeah.
And however he's called you to do that, whether it's mm-hmm. in the church, whether it's in your, it should be in your home too, whether it's when you're out in the streets, you know, just being open. That's my challenge to anyone listening is ask the Holy Spirit how you are to be, you know, preparing the harvest, how you are to be gathering in the harvest.
And if you look at it instead of looking at it like, ooh, I'm like checking these boxes and filling these metrics and I'm going to win the Mm-hmm. bring all my friends to Sunday school so I get the king size candy bar or whatever. Remember those days?
Oh, I do.
VBS. Instead, look at it through the lens of, and that's what, as I was doing some research on that passage, the word for gathering, the vintage, was this Hebrew word that literally meant to make them inaccessible. And I think that if we look at the lost, or if we look at these people that we're ministering to, if we look at the harvest that we're gathering, and we think of it as, hey, here's the point. Here's the impetus. This is not for another notch in my belt. It's not so that we fill up our church.
No.
What is it for? It's to protect them. It's to make them inaccessible to hell. That's why Jesus came, so that hell could no longer have the grip. He made us inaccessible to hell. And I think that if that is our a driving force, then we're going to be winning.
Amen. Wow, we are almost coming to the end. But so I was hoping we could get through everything get through on Sunday.
You know, Lori said to me, when Lori was like, hey, why don't you sit in on this? And I think she brought it up to you.
And
she was like, you know, you were talking about doing a sermon series. Why don't you just develop the points on the thing? And I think this podcast is going to have to be a sermon series.
But no, let's try. Let's do our best. So, you know, we come to the sowing, and to me, like, that's I hear it evangelistically. Mm-hmm. That's how I hear it.
Yeah.
But then there's also, you know, we're also continually sowing into the ground in ministry. There's this constant of pouring out and tilling the ground.
Yeah.
And then with the purpose of, again, like, we come to the next point of eating. Mm. And you mentioned something that I thought was interesting. You talked about how the bride of Christ has an eating disorder.
Yeah.
Could you flesh that out a little bit more?
Yeah, you bet. I just feel that we live in an unprecedented time of accessibility to the Word of God. Mm-hmm. So much so that it's like, it's everywhere. It's, you know, on social media. Now, is it always unadulterated and pure and spirit inspired? No, it's not. A lot of times it's really off. But I mean, you can dial into any preacher, you can watch live streams and YouTubes and, you know, podcasts. And I mean, there's so much out there. And I think the enemy, if he can't keep the word from us, then he'll try to keep us from the word. Mm-hmm. And the bride has taken on, the church has taken on this ability to, it's a lie, really. We're living a lie, right? We come to the table. You know, we come, if the table is church, if the table is your small group, your cell group, your greenhouse, if the table is the altar, right? To me, I'm an altar guy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? The table is the altar. Come down and there's a meal prepared. There's something that the Lord has put together with the specific nutrients and vitamins and the food group balance that's needed specifically for you. Like, he knows that you're gluten intolerant, and he knows that you've got a peanut allergy.
Yep.
And he knows that, you know, you like your pasta done al dente, which could be a problem for the gluten issue, I guess. But at the end of the day, he knows every single specific thing and has prepared something to exactly meet that need. So now, the greatest lie the enemy can do is to point to us and say, you shouldn't eat that. You really shouldn't eat that. What you should do is make everybody believe that you're eating it, but you shouldn't eat that. You should hide it somewhere. You should dispose of it somewhere, or you should gorge and purge,
right,
so that it doesn't actually have its effect on you.
Right.
And that's why you have this bride that's like emaciated. Like, we're weak. We're weak, and we're not filling out our dress. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and I really believe that there is a spiritual, a very spiritual lie taking place somewhere between our ability to perceive and the image that we see in ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, as you're talking, there were just two verses that were coming to my mind. It's, you know, where Jesus is being tempted by Satan, and he says, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
Yeah.
So we are to live on the word of God. And then James, I believe it's in James, he says, you know, to him who knows to do what is right, but then doesn't do it, to him it is sin. And that's how I'm kind of hearing this. It's like, we take in God's word,
yeah,
but then the part of being nourished by that and taking that into us and really making that part of our life is then to go live it out.
Yeah.
And if we're just so focused on, I think just on ourselves or it's sometimes it's the fear, like what you talked about a few weeks ago, there's this fear that paralyzes us.
And it snuck back up in this message again,
the
fear thing. But, you know, to your point, and I'll make this fast. I think it does come back to those first three responsibilities. I think that you would not even have time to think about having an eating disorder if you were busy threshing wheat, carrying it to the top of a hill, throwing it up with a pitchfork, and then no sooner are you finished with that, but then is it time to gather the grapes? And then no sooner are you finished with that, then now you're sowing into the ground. What does it do? It works up an appetite. You go to the gym. You start going to the gym like every day.
Yes.
And you're and you look great, by the
way. Thank you.
Yeah. Speaking of filling out that shirt well. The deal is that responsibility provides us with a work ethic that creates appetite in us. So if you are dormant, if you have a sedentary lifestyle as the church, then you're not working up an appetite and it doesn't make sense for you to eat. And you're thinking, well, like if I eat, I just get fat. Well, that's because there's not the healthy amount of exercise and work that's actually building the right parts of us. And so I think that that part of that is the result of not having the healthy spiritual appetite of doing the first three things well. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Oh, no, it totally does.
So it kind of all ties together, but it's huge. And to be honest, I think it could kill us. Mm-hmm. I think it's a deadly disease.
Well, thank you for calling that out and being willing to, you know, say these hard things to us. You know, I think again, along with that disease or that soulish place in us is coming into church wanting to just be told that I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the Lord is gracious and He loves those whom He disciplines. His discipline comes out of a place of love.
Yeah.
And He wants us to grow up into this place where we are mature and we're functioning from a place of health.
Mm.
So thank you for joining us today and fleshing out some of these fundamental points from Sunday. Would you just bless us, just pray
out. Thanks, Luke. Heavenly Father, we thank you for, Lord, we thank you for blessing. We thank you for the land of the living that you've invited us to dwell in with you. And Lord, we thank you that in this place of promise and of peace, that there are expectations and there are responsibilities and there's a maturation that comes along with this. And so, Lord, I pray that you would find in us a heart that desires to steward well, Lord, to attend to and maintain, God, all that you've placed before us. And so, we thank you for this good soil, but Lord, may we be faithful to sow into it. We thank you for this harvest, but may we be faithful to balance our part with your part, God, and to not overstep. Lord, may we always have hearts to increasingly make the world inaccessible to the enemy. God, I pray that you would fill us, Lord, with that fearlessness that allows us to sleep at night, God, and to rest in your presence. Fill us, God, with that fearlessness and that boldness to be the bride that walks in a confidence of one whose groom is with her, has never left her, never forsaken her, Lord. So we thank you for that. And it's these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Luke.
So everyone, let's steward our blessings, and we'll see you on Sunday. Can't count on-